Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Matt there just interrupting the introduction because we've been talking about the sad celebrity deaths of 2016, of which there have been a lot. Matt is going to go through them all now and rate them in preference for who he likes the best.
Well, for me, the one that obviously meant the most to me was David Bowie passing.
And that's all we've got time for tonight. Thank you, Matthew.
I can't believe you didn't say Ronnie Corbett then, Matt. That's great.
Hey, look, I call it like I see it.
Are you putting Ronnie Corbett above Dave Bowie?
Absolutely. Corbett, for Christ's sake.
Wow. I don't know if you can do that.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. I'm Howell. This is Jamie.
Hi.
We're the regulars, and then there's some others that are becoming more and more common, is the word. Let's start with the most common and work our way up. Jack is the most common.
He
is a student from the very north, almost Scotland, which I went to this weekend and passed through Lancaster and thought of you, Jack.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it was very pleasant.
Was it raining then?
It wasn't raining. Very hilly place. Cobbled streets, that kind of thing. People wearing bread on their feet and things like that. Speaking of people who wear bread on their feet, Adam Comstiff looks like he was born in the 30s. He was actually born in the 80s. And our internet department, good evening, Adam.
Good evening to you, sir.
Where are we?
He was born in the 30s as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to
that's
bring
true.
A little bit of that vibe.
Tiernan there, getting involved. Tiernan, the second least common, because he's in London, but we suspect from his name that he's some form of immigrant.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
There we go. And the poshest of them all, it's Matthew Wandless.
Top of the evening to you, gentlemen.
There he is. Matthew and I had a Skype on our own this week. I was semi-naked.
Oh, that was sexy, wasn't it?
Matthew was home alone, and we were talking about something else, and I actually saw Matthew's creaky basement cupboard.
It's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a euphemism?
Yes. Yes, it is. He showed me his creaky basement cupboard down Skype. Tonight we're going to be talking about Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul. Also, no chart through from the internet department, from the algorithm department. Again, Ben sends his apologies. He says he thinks he might be so busy at the moment that he might miss an entire season of the Box Set Pod, which is difficult to guess, because how long is a season, Jamie?
Anything. How long's a piece of string?
Yeah, there were three episodes.
Should we fire him and just make our own chart?
Well, the question is, will you bother making your own chart up?
I mean, can we be bothered firing anyone?
Exactly. Both of those things. We'll just leave the status quo, shall we?
What season are we on?
Well, we stopped calling the seasons when we got to season 4, I believe. So
it's probably 6-ish.
Well, I think we're on, 6 probably. Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Well, it's all right.
I mean, from my own perspective, if I was a character being introduced into a series, I'd want to come in maybe series 3 latest.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're
could
all.
Be the character they bring in order to end it. You know,
I'm the one they bring in to jazz ratings up.
No, I think you're the one they bring in so that everything then goes wrong and it just has to draw to a conclusion.
Did they jump the shark with me? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think they've jumped several sharks with you. Yeah.
I'm too ridiculous to be in the series.
That's pretty much what it is. Yeah, you're not real enough.
No one believes that I exist.
To be part of this.
I think Jack joined earliest. Jack, didn't you come on as a guest? Didn't we ring you?
In
the first season, maybe.
Yeah, we got you on.
Not the first season, no.
No, maybe
we got
second.
You on to appeal to a new demographic. Well, that didn't work, did
I
it?
Know. Yeah, didn't work.
What was that demographic?
Poor people.
Students.
The young cool.
Stinkies.
Indie kids.
Yeah. All right. So that's everybody. We're going to talk Better Call Saul later on. Don't forget, you can email us. We've got an email coming up. But first, Jamie, would you mind doing some making up some patriotic music in a moment for me?
No probs. Done it now.
Sam Knowles is the name of a friend of Matthew Wandless, who sent a message to Matt saying that he'd been binge listening a backlog of the box set pods. So thank you, Sam. Is Sam a girl or a boy?
He is a burly man.
Burly man sent this message to Matt. He likes Adam Sandler, loved Zoolander 2, and his favourite show is Chuck. He hates Tom Hardy and thinks The Wire is boring. Is Howell even a real person? Yes, indeed. In response, I must firstly thank you for binging on my excellent podcast. Secondly, I bring forth to you my thesis entitled Taste. Cue the music, Jamie. When actually a bit quieter than that, just a bit quieter. When we see a cat eating a fine meat from our plate, followed by cat food that smells to us like jellied shit, how must we judge that cat, Sam? Has the cat got terrible taste or great taste? Well, that depends whether we're judging taste on openness and breadth or exclusiveness and cognitive pickery. If we follow these to their extreme examples, the latter, cognitive pickery, the idea that informed smartness equals good taste, we can only say that the person who likes the least has the best taste. The person who listens to Radio 3 and nothing else is who we must aspire to follow. And the person who eats any cuisine can break bread at any table of any tribe in the world is a Neanderthal idiot. Nay, I say to you, Sam, that it is you that has got things upside down and inside out. Yes, it's true that I like Adam Sandler films, Chuck, and one of the best gigs I've been to in a long time was Glee Live. Yes, indeed. However, Handelson's Messiah at the Bridgewater Hall blew me away, performed by the Halle Orchestra. The Birmingham Royal Ballet, Romeo and Juliet, even though I was paid to be there, was a superb performance, and my weekly fix of Woman's Hour on Radio 4 rates equally highly on my list of favourite things, because being able to understand why Taylor Swift's song Style is better than Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl allows you to feel more and enjoy life so much more, because the more you love, Sam, the less you hate, and life is better. Thank you for your email, Sam. Pam's almost also emailed.
You do like some right shit, though.
Jesus Christ, my life.
I mean, and he had a point about The Wire. I mean, it's not boring in any way. I mean, there's a lot of things he wasn't wrong on.
I didn't say The Wire was boring. Listen to what I'm saying.
I did defend you about The Wire because you were playing devil's advocate and trying to bait me.
Well, I was doing that, but I was more saying that The Wire, you have to make it quite a large amount of effort, especially when if you go back and watch it now. There is a lot of effort required that can sit, a bit like The West Wing at the popular end of the scale, that can sit back on its social laurels and presume that the audience is going to be engaged by it. I'd like to see those things. And the last series was half as long as the others, and that's unacceptable because it was excellent.
That's not true.
No, it wasn't, Howell.
No, it wasn't, no.
It's 10
episodes,
wasn't
it? Have you only watched half of the last series?
Have you only watched 5 episodes of season 5?
No, because I mean, that would explain a lot, I think.
No, I've watched that. What do you mean explain a lot? I love The Wire. I just said a note of criticism, which you...
Why did you spend an hour slagging it off?
Can't handle. Are you sure about that, The Wire?
And also, somebody else has texted in and said that you said it was boring, so I believe them wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I'm with Sam.
Yeah, I'm with Sam as well.
Sam's great, guys.
Yeah, he sounds like a good guy.
He's going to be on my podcast this week. It's going to be really good.
Oh, I'm going to listen to that.
Sam does his own podcast as well called the Prestige Podcast.
Wow. Are you sure about The Wire, the last season, not being shorter?
Yes, it's like 2 episodes shorter than the rest.
2 episodes. There you go. It's shorter. We were robbed.
You said it was half as long.
I may have exaggerated. Pam emailed as well. Pam emailed and said she took issue with me as well. I'm loving all this attention, by the way. Pam says, welcome back after your Easter break. Thank you. I have to agree with Jamie and Matt about the music discussion, RE Peaky Blinders. I also think it can be a good thing using modern music where appropriate. Now, Sam, I'm going to make a snobby artistic argument now. It's not Pam. Thank you, Pam. I ask you this. What is freedom, Pam? creative freedom, right? We all want that. I've certainly got it on this podcast. And this is a shining example of where someone being given too much creative freedom just creates boring entertainment, a lot like some of The Wire. But tougher choices make for better results sometimes. And the Arctic Monkeys and Johnny Cash are excellent songs. And they're, of course, they're going to look great at the beginning of a gritty TV series because they're great songs. They're brilliant. But as Marsha, if she was here, can testify, because she picks music for the in-betweeners, that it's an important job and a hard job. And I'd find it hard to find another example of a period drama that stands the test of time that actually uses modern popular music instead of period music. And wouldn't it have been more interesting? Has anyone seen that?
No.
Sofia Coppola won.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, it's not very good.
Oh, well, there, no, you that's go. Not there you go.
But it's not because of the music that is not very good. The music isn't the problem.
No, but my point is that anyone making decisions that lead to something that's crap would make that kind of a decision because it's an easy choice. Wouldn't it have been interesting to get the Arctic Monkeys or the National or whoever was on that soundtrack, get one of them to actually create a soundtrack inspired by the historical music of the time, you know, the working class folk music of Birmingham or whatever at the time. Wouldn't that have been
Nick Cave? That's who
Nick Cave. That was it.
Yeah, Nick Cave would have been perfect. Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been fantastic? And it's just I think that in 100 years, when people watch Dad's Army, they won't question the music on the theme tune, and when they watch Peaky Blinders, they will question the music on the theme tune.
Well, I can't wait to find out.
I'm thinking about our heritage and our history, and for that reason, Chuck's theme tune is a lot better than Peaky Blinders. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Pam. That's all sorted.
I was just going to say, on that, Boardwalk Empire did the same, didn't it, just with the theme tune? That was, is it Brian Jonestown Massacre or someone who does
it? Yes, that's right, Brian Jonestown Massacre.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only comparable thing I can think
of. Oh, really? I thought that was an original piece of music. I didn't know that was a song.
I always used Boardwalk to find it quite jarring compared to the setting, but very quickly got used to it. And
thank you for agreeing with me, Adam, because I think you can almost get away with the theme tune being a modern song, you know. I'll give you that, but they use it as, what's it called, didactic music, is that the word?
Diegetic
music. Jack knew that, he's obviously studying media at the moment. Jack,
I was going to say, whilst we're on music, big shout out to Marsha, because I've been listening to a lot of watching a lot of The In-Betweeners, and it's banger after banger after banger.
There you
on
go.
There.
If only she put as much effort into this podcast as she did picking music for The In-Betweeners, eh?
Yeah.
So, where are we then? Better Call Saul. Matt, you...
Yes.
Watch... Oh, no, Jamie, news.
Have we got any news?
News.
I can give you a little bit of news if you want. First of all, so all the news is on the boxsetpod.com/news. I'm the only one who reads it. But
that's,
if
not
you do fancy...
that's not true. That's not true.
Okay, that's not true. Who else reads it, Howell?
Not me, certainly not me. But I've seen the figures, and that website stats. Gets some hits. It's good.
Yeah, well, there's
some good stuff on there. Recently, the Walking Dead finale happened of season 6. It was supposed to be a massive, crowd-pleasing 90-minute episode that introduced one of the most highly anticipated Walking Dead characters by the name of Negan. He's a big favourite of comic book people who love the comic book.
Don't ruin and this. I'm
not going to ruin it, but I will say that they made a lot of fans angry with a long and rather dull 90-minute episode that didn't even give the ending that everybody was expecting to get. And there are now petitions being signed across mainly America to get them to reveal exactly what has happened.
Because, right, yeah. Oh, no, I think I know.
Can I say...
Basically, somebody's died, but we don't know who.
Someone was meant to die. A main character was meant to die, and they were meant to die at the end of a baseball bat provided by the new guy, Negan.
Okay.
And this happened, but we didn't see who was hit with the baseball bat.
And so that's why everyone's really angry.
And I like Andrew Lincoln came out and defended this and said, surely the braver choice as a writer is to not give everybody what they want and to make everybody wait.
Yeah, but I think the problem with The Walking Dead, and this is sometimes why I drift away from it, is that they drag stuff out so long. They'll drag out a very thin plot because they've got this big finale. But if you're not going to give us the big finale, then it's really unsatisfying experience going all that way on that rather windy, slightly depressing and not that interesting journey to get to what was meant to be the good bit, and it's not even that great.
But holy smokes, when you get a good episode, like that first episode of this new half a season was amazing. Like when they put the money in and they pull out, you know, extra 200,000 extras and big special effects, like you're watching an amazing movie that couldn't be funded if you didn't have essentially some episodes where people just walk through a bush for an hour.
That's not far wrong.
So really, it swings and roundabouts. But I do think that they could have pushed the plot on more. Like, there's so many hypotheticals with The Walking Dead, aren't there? Of like, okay, come on, let us go somewhere and find that there is a government that's still alive. Let's go to the White House, for God's sake. Come on, give us some juice. But no, it's going to last forever, isn't it?
I mean, have you watched the final episode, Howell, of season 6?
No, I'm up to it. I've just got that to watch.
Okay. Well, like, the character of Negan, the writer of the comic book and creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, I think he's called, and he got annoyed with the TV show because he kept deviating from the plot of the comic and making it too, well, easygoing, in his opinion, to compare to the comic. But I've not read the comic book, but apparently it's a lot easier. The
comics are really, really bleak. They're sort of, I get one ordered sort of every 6 months and pick it up and then just feel sad for a day. That it's the most horrible a comic could be. Comics are meant to be fun, but this is, I mean, it's really upsetting every single time you pick it up.
And Robert Kirkman, the writer, got really annoyed with this. So he created the character of Negan to say F you to the TV show, saying you'll never bring this character in. He's so diabolical. He's so awful. There's no way you'd put him in the TV show. But he was so popular in the comics that the TV show has actually gone ahead and put him into the show. So that's why there's been so much of a brouhaha about him arriving. And it certainly should be exciting if they ever show who he killed.
There we go. Okay, next.
A little bit of news. Terrence Winter, we were talking about Boardwalk Empire before. He's been making vinyl, which has been Mick Jagger.
I know some people who've been watching this and they do absolutely love it.
I've started it and it is good, but it's been badly reviewed, badly rated overall. Well, not awful reviews, but not as good as everyone thought it would be. Right. Terrence Winter was the showrunner. He's left. He's fallen out with HBO, a company he spent the last 20 years making very good quality stuff with, from The Sopranos to Boardwalk, and he's left to due to creative differences. So Vinyl Season 2, which is going to happen, we'll have a different person in charge, which I think is a damn shame because he's a bloody amazing creative individual.
Does someone keep unplugging their headphones or something, like changing their sound?
Oh, sorry, that's me. I'm muting and unmuting myself because I'm in the kitchen. I don't want to clog up with unnecessary noise.
That's what you do every week, Matthew.
I'm invited to. That's different kind of unnecessary.
That's true. Good. Thanks for the news, Jamie. And whoever's been giving bad reviews to Vinyl, stop it. It must be Sam Knowles, I'd imagine. By the way, Pam, I did challenge Pam. You know the thing about the music, and I want to challenge everyone to do this. Tell me another period drama that uses modern music, because there will be stuff. So
I thought you were going to say then, Harold, you challenge everybody to watch a period drama with the sound off and create our own modern day soundtrack for it.
You can do that as well.
Yeah, better.
That'd be amazing. Do that. studio@theboxsetpod.com if you want to email any abuse my way, you're more than welcome. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Better Call Saul is a spin-off series based on a character from from Breaking Bad. What is the setup of this series, Guinea Pig Matthew Wandless?
So Better Call Saul is a prequel to the Breaking Bad series, although it does, I think it starts in the in the recent future after the last Breaking Bad episode. So in the recent future, the near future after Breaking Bad.
Worst explanation ever.
God, that's a crazy one. And then it goes back to tell you how James McGill became Saul Goodman. James McGill is his original name, and you see him as a kind of two-bit lawyer trying to make a living as a public defender and grifter. Yeah, he's kind of in financial trouble, and I presume then goes on to tell you how he becomes Saul Goodman, the kind of not very successful but very flashy-looking lawyer that we see in Breaking Bad.
You should write for the Radio Times. That was a phenomenal setup.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So he's a down-and-out lawyer, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. How many have you watched?
I've watched four.
Four episodes? You've actually done the four-episode rule already.
My wife was insisting that we carry on watching, and I let her go as far as four, and I've drawn a line in the sand.
God, we're really going to struggle with this, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, why are we going to struggle? Because you're assuming that I love it.
Well, you've watched four. I mean,
that doesn't mean I love it.
Took about 3 months to get you to watch four.
That means that's the minimum amount he needs to have watched to have an opinion, surely.
That's right.
No. The guinea pig only has to watch one, and we have to persuade him to get as far as four. So, okay. Well, what do you think then?
I watched the entirety of Breaking Bad, and I didn't love that.
All right. Okay. Now we've got something to talk about. So you did.
Yeah. There you go. I'll throw in a bit of controversy for you.
yeah. Very good. Who was going to ask Matt a question then? Was it Tiernan?
No, I'm just disappointed in him as always.
Oh, you just made a noise.
That's all. It was the same level of disappointment that happens every time he's on this.
I know. I know. So come on then, the doomsayer. What did you think of Better Call Saul?
I actually think, based on the first four episodes, Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad.
Ooh.
I completely agree with that.
I couldn't disagree with you, but here's a different question for you.
Yeah.
Do you need to watch Breaking Bad to watch Better Call Saul? Could you go into Better Call Saul without having watched Breaking Bad?
I would say, based on what I've seen so far, I'd say yes.
You're saying yes, you could watch it without having watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah, there's only a couple of things so far that have been kind of winks to Breaking Bad, but if you hadn't seen Breaking Bad, you wouldn't be confused. You'd just be taken along. It doesn't rely on someone's prior knowledge of Breaking Bad to, at least from what I've seen, I wouldn't say it does.
This is the thing I wonder about, though. I wonder, like, I'd like someone to watch it who's not watched Breaking Bad, because I watch it, and part of the reason I'm watching it is I know where he's going, and I'm interested in that journey, and I know that whatever he's doing right now, he's not going to be doing very long. I know that there's going to be a very interesting journey to this place he gets to, and that's what's so compelling. So that kind of changes the viewing.
No, I wonder that, because what Breaking Bad is to Better Call Saul is my argument about what the gravitas and the press and the chattering classes were to The Wire. You know, I wonder if The Wire is an excellent thing and Better Call Saul is an excellent thing, but I wonder if you came to it with zero context whether you would just feel like the wheels moved really slowly on it. Jack, did you watch all of Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I finished it.
Okay, I don't suppose anybody watched this having given up on Breaking Bad, like before Better Call's, before Saul's character, because Saul only comes into it halfway through. Okay, any criticisms on it, Matt?
I mean, it suffers from some of the same stuff that I think Breaking Bad does, which just allows its kind of wacky narrative to take precedent over other stuff.
Wacky narrative. Tiernan, let's go to you. Breaking Bad, it's just full of wacky narrative.
The thing is, I would say, looking after watching Better Call Saul, and you look back on Breaking Bad, and I think Breaking Bad does seem more sensationalist is probably the wrong word, but you know, it's a lot more focused on really hyped up cliffhangers and lots of immediate danger. And Better Call Saul is a much slower, a much kind of very different pace. And I think that because you know that he's going to turn into this character eventually, there's this constant threat throughout the show anyway that is there, even if there isn't immediate danger in an episode, which I think makes it vastly superior as a series anyway, because it doesn't need to rush to some kind of cliffhanger. You know that his life's going to go horribly wrong at some point, but we don't know when. And that gives it its own sense of jeopardy anyway.
Well, hang on. Do you feel like he starts... when he's introduced into Breaking Bad, he's at a lower point than he is when he starts Better Call Saul?
Good question.
Well, no, but we know where his life's going to go through Breaking Bad as well. Don't forget that. Yeah. We know, and for example, Mike becomes quite a big character in Better Call Saul, and we know where his life goes because of Breaking Bad as well. And
yeah. But I think in both cases, like Matt's point is, Matt's question to you there is interesting, because in both cases, I'm watching it and I'm not sure if it is if it's a fall from grace that we're watching, or if actually their lives become, they take control of their lives and they, you know, that they do the right, they make the right choices for them, because by the time we see them in Breaking Bad, they're in a better place than they were. And maybe that's why this series doesn't annoy me in that way that whodunits do. You know, I know where this is going and yet I'm not annoyed by that.
Yes, I was just going to bring that up, because the journey is so meandering and full of incident so far. Anyway, I'm only four episodes in, but it's, you know, you can sort of, you're kind of guessing, you're trying to figure out when he's going to actually become Saul Goodman. And how much they're going to show us that just takes place where he is Saul Goodman, but before Breaking Bad, or whether the last thing we see in this series is him turning into Saul Goodman, and then that's when Breaking Bad comes in.
Yeah, I mean, how do they have an unlimited number of series on this? I suppose they can't, can they? It's got to end at a certain point. But then we're having all these flashbacks. So anyone who hasn't watched it, this happens before Breaking Bad, but we actually begin, I think Matt said this before, but we actually begin with a little snapshot before every episode of him, or at least before every series, of him in the future after Breaking Bad.
The recent future.
The recent.
Which is the current. Future. The present.
That's correct. It's the present.
The present, recent, past, future.
Yeah. Go for that. I think it trundles along fascinatingly. You know, it's in that lengthy drama that it's so good. But Jack, what about you and your young, irrational, worse than mine need for entertainment?
I actually prefer Mike's story at the moment to where Jim and McGill's story is going.
Yes,
I think it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah,
that's really good.
No spoilers, please. No spoilers.
Well, similarly, I think the story of Kim Wexler as well is there's so many characters that are so beautifully developed over the course of nearly now the end of the second series, you know, two series, that you start to care for everyone pretty much as I'd say you care for Jimmy McGill as well.
I think it's really amazing what they did with Mike, because in the Breaking Bad, I wasn't a huge Mike fan, but I just think his journey is brilliant. And like the way his story's crafted, and he's fascinating. He's a fascinating character. And I love scene, and he's so clever as well, and I love his problem solving skills are just amazing. And I think that's what Vince Gilligan does better than any other showrunner or show creator out there. He's just a master storyteller, because he's brilliant at just gradually building these problems that Mike or Jimmy will find the way out of, and that's what keeps me hooked every week, because I know that they're so intelligent the way they go about finding ways out of the issues they have. Just brilliant.
Do you get at all what I'm saying about the wackiness?
No.
Not really.
Well, I was disappointed after watching the first episode that they brought back in Tuco.
Oh, yeah. See, I think that's probably the weakest bit of the first season, having Tuco. It feels really unnecessary.
Because he was the worst part of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it definitely develops much better after that, I think. They don't need the connections to Breaking Bad that early on, and that feels forced, I think.
My problem isn't the connection to Breaking Bad. It's that character is indicative of the kind of thing that they're willing to do. And I think the episode I just watched where the Kettlemans kidnap themselves and camp out in their own backyard kind of thing. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's all fine. That's like that's a really amusing situation. But then they don't earn it in my way of thinking by unraveling it on screen.
Okay.
Because they just kind of go and that's all done and they just walk away from it and it's like, well, hang on a second, that's absurd.
But isn't this just you wishing to see more?
No, not at all. I don't think it is.
You would watch the first half of E.T. and go, Matt's focus group says, I'm really annoyed that I don't know what planet he comes from.
Yeah, which planet is he actually from? He's very, very hazy with his gesturing. Like, he just brings up some planets. I really want to know which one specifically he's from.
You want a Meet the Kettleman spin-off series that really explores.
No, I don't. All I'm saying is that they've used them to get him this money in this really inventive way, but they don't follow through with it. And I think they did that a lot in Breaking Bad. Like, they would get to a point where something crazy would happen and then they'd just kind of, it would be done. Mm-hmm. And that annoys me. It annoys me in films and TV series alike. But if you're going to just constantly ratchet up the drama with these intense situations, you have to have the wherewithal to follow through with it and actually see it through to its conclusion.
But isn't that the point that they show the interesting stuff rather than having two or three episodes afterwards of just them dealing with paperwork and all the really boring stuff?
No. I'm not saying that that's what you need.
Matt, have you heard of fun?
Yeah.
I stand by what I'm talking about. You can't just do whatever you want and then not have any consequences.
But shows always have to make a choice consciously of which arcs to follow. You can't follow the story to conclusion of every character you introduce.
I'm not saying that, but what I mean is he's got all this money from the Kettlemans, and it's like, surely there's going to be consequences from that.
I mean, you have only watched four episodes as well.
Well, if there are, then maybe I'm calling it too early.
Can I ask everyone who's watched this? I'm right in thinking Matt really is calling this too early, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right. In that case, this one incident in that case, fair enough.
Just that there's a great scene with just funk music playing with Mike looking out onto the Kettleman's house.
Has Matt
watched that bit?
No, I haven't.
Oh, right.
Yeah, then... Yeah.
Then shut the hell up, Matthew, and stop criticising Vince Gilligan. Vince Gilligan is a master... Jamie's right, he's a master storyteller. He takes turns that you just don't expect. And I don't... I want to know if your wacky criticisms of Breaking Bad... whether you thought Breaking Bad took turns that you expected.
No, it didn't. I credit the show with that. It was very, very hard to see where things were going.
Yeah. So it was just that you would go, oh, I don't like this character that's turned up. He's too good. This isn't real enough.
A bit of this and a bit of that, because obviously it's a very heightened show, so I'm not expecting it to just be...
There wasn't enough social commentary about Baltimore in it. That was the problem.
Yeah.
It was all about character
Fuck
and
your
plot.
Face, you bigger dick.
Why didn't we follow through the stories of everyone that took the meth?
Yeah.
A spin-off series for all of them, working out how it affected their lives.
How did
it?
How did
Omar even get to Mexico? Did we see that? What cabin did he fly in? What airline was it? Jesus.
It's not what I'm saying. What I mean is when you use something to make a crucial change in the narrative, you can't just then have it disappear in a cloud of smoke. That's all I'm saying.
I think I know what you're saying.
That would be rubbish. I don't think Better Call Saul is ultimately guilty of that.
No,
fair enough. But I think Breaking Bad is on a few occasions, and I can't think of them.
Okay. I just wish that's the problem. I wish we had one example of this nonsense.
You've got to give an example, Matthew.
You've got to
give an example.
I'll come back with an example.
Matt will email us all at 2 a.m. tonight with 10 examples. But by then, Matt, it will be too late.
It'll be too late.
Okay.
I was going to say, I think Better Call Saul, I've actually only watched the first season of it. I'm sort of storing up season two to get through all in one really lonely weekend. But thinking back, I remember when I first watched Breaking Bad, that was the classic four-episode rule series for me. Someone sent it us on DVD, and I sort of limped through about 3 episodes, and then honestly sat with it, with a DVD not playing for about 9 months, maybe a year, before we went back to it. Because those first few episodes just didn't really grip me. And obviously Breaking Bad then picks up sort of momentum brilliantly and became a real binge-watching thing. But Better Call Saul is so much tighter in that first season. You're just straight into it, and you're very quickly engaged with those characters, maybe because you're already familiar with quite a lot of them.
I think it's purely down to that, though. I think because you know those characters so well. That's the only reason. Because Breaking Bad, you have this setup straight away. It's a great cliffhanger. You know, the very first bit in the desert, great cliffhanger. It's teacher turning to drug dealing. Dead simple. What's the first episode of Better Call Saul? It's a dude...
I mean, yeah. I think Better Call Saul is a better start to a series than Breaking Bad.
Why?
Was.
What happens? I can't remember.
Well, he finds out about the cancer, and he's got the van thingy in the desert.
Sorry, I thought you said
he's
Better
asking
Call
about
Saul.
The first episode of Better Call Saul, right?
Oh, right, that's with the skateboarders. And, yeah. You know,
So you think that's better? Yeah. That's a better start than Breaking Bad.
I thought it was more. I got into it quicker, and I was more hooked immediately by the start.
I agree with Howell. I think you're anticipating. Yeah,
yeah. Surely you're bringing the baggage, Jamie.
I don't know. I just thought I loved the tone. It was a different tone to the show, and it just won me over. I just immediately, because I was surprised. I genuinely thought it was going to be rubbish, and I thought, why would you follow Saul Goodman's story? It's not going to be that interesting. And I was surprised by how much I was really loving what I was seeing.
It's interesting that you say this, because I thought Breaking Bad Series 1 was the best series they did. And second, I watched the first episode of Better Call Saul when it first came out. I watched it, and I left it. And I haven't come back to it until now.
That is surprising. Yeah, I genuinely think that for me, Breaking Bad, the best season is season 4. Like, that's the one where, so far, Better Call Saul isn't better than season 4 of Breaking Bad for me. That was just, every episode was amazing. Yeah. Stunning. But
which one was season 4? What was the arc?
That was Gus Fring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Gus. Amazing, Matt. Yeah. How can you not have enjoyed Gus better than the first season? What are these arbitrary nonsense statements about best series?
Where did he get the chickens from? Where are these chickens coming from?
What are the sources?
How convenient. He just happens to have a lot of chicken.
The tone Jamie mentioned, I think that if anyone's not watched Better Call Saul, it will be difficult to find a series that has a tone that's quite as consistent outside, in fact, of The Wire, to go back to that. Everything, and to go back to my music discussion from before, the music that they've done for Better Call Saul is this perfect Southern American States sort of 70s-ish...
Who's making a cocktail?
Stuff. It's got to be Matt, hasn't it?
It's got to be Matt.
Hello.
The best season of The Wire.
Just to go back to the Breaking Bad thing, my dad gave up on Breaking Bad in a season and a half in, and now is absolutely flowing through Better Call Saul and loves it. And he has, you know...
Oh, wow, get him on.
He thought Breaking Bad was the shite, really. Well, I'll speak to him and get back to you.
Wow. Okay. Can you all tell me why both Jack and Matt so far have called him Sol instead of Saul? Better call Sol.
Yeah, there's the U in there, isn't there? It's quite important, I thought.
They pronounce it Sol Goodman.
Yeah, in the show it's Sol.
That's because they're from America.
Because they're Albuquerqueans.
Go fuck yourself.
Okay, alright.
Go fuck yourself.
But you know what, I didn't realise until the episode where he says it, that it's Sol Goodman.
Sol Goodman, yeah.
Sol Goodman. Of course.
Nice.
No way. Have you only realised that as well, Howell?
If it was in an episode then, no, I obviously knew it before, but it's gone out of my mind.
Wow. Yeah, I totally didn't see that until it was literally spelled out for me.
Wow. Very good. All right, well...
Hang on. Jamie, did you get that then during Breaking Bad? You went, oh, that's a clever name based on It's All Good, Man.
I thought everybody did.
No.
No, I had no idea until now.
You've got a beautiful mind, Jamie. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I'm a savant. I'm the Rain Man of box set watching.
Don't you all find that, though? After you've done an episode of the pod, you just think how great Jamie is and how awful Howell is.
Of course. Jesus. Yeah, do you know what that's called as well? It's called one of them doing all the fucking work and the other one taking all the credit. That's what it is.
Well, you mean Jamie turning up with the news every week?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, providing his own instrumental accompaniment.
And you occasionally coming in with a boring speech. Written.
Word count. I'm talking word count, right? I bet you any money Jamie's made at least one meal during this podcast. What have you done during this recording?
Done absolutely nothing, Howell. I've been sat here engaged fully in the conversation.
What have you done during this podcast?
I did a little bit of washing up.
There we bloody go.
I'm impressed with the multitasking. That's incredible.
And season 5 of The Wire had 10 episodes, whereas the other ones mostly had 13. Stick it
it's
up.
Half it.
What?
So that's...
It's not half, but it's significantly less. My point was we were
You said
out.
It was half. We said it was one or two episodes less.
But the point behind that was that they finished it too soon. Season 5 got jibbed and so did we. And the
but
media
also, season 5, the last episode was 90 minutes.
Lots.
But 30 minutes of that was a montage of McNulty looking out over Baltimore.
Beautiful montage.
Of my life, yeah.
What a great montage.
Yeah, what a great montage.
Lots of series do that, though, in the final season.
Yeah, they do.
Short one. We mentioned Peter Jackson last week, I think.
Yeah. Arguably, best montage ending of a show, 6 Feet Under. Have you seen the end of that?
No.
Nope.
Oh.
Very end,
you know what? It's a really good ending, and it's perfect for the show as well. Mm. One of my favourite show endings ever.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Have you seen Chuck's ending, though? Anyone?
No.
There was a video online today where someone's taken the first shot and the last shot of loads of series and put them juxtaposed them together. And worryingly, the best one is Lost, even though that was so shit. But they open and finish on pretty much the same shot. Beautiful.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, well, listen, I think the moral of the story today is send me an email because you'll always get a polite response. And the Better Call Saul is excellent, so watch it. Anybody got anything to add? Jamie, want to add a speech?
I think the last message as well is that you probably can watch Better Call Saul without having seen Breaking Bad. You're right, Matt. And
I think so.
I think you can actually dive into it.
I hate
the idea that people can't watch Better Call Saul until they've watched something else, because that just makes it even more of a long process for people to enjoy a show, you know.
Yeah, but I really, really want to hear from someone who's done that, though, because I just think it'll be so boring. Like, without that context, maybe not.
No, I think it'd stand.
All right. Well, if anybody listening to this, if anyone can hear us out there and they're willing to watch Better Call Saul, if you haven't watched Breaking Bad, then do it and let us know. We'll get you on. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Pop us an email. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Or Jamie's mobile number is 07984.
Can I ask... quickly for an update from anyone who's been a guinea pig recently, how you done with cracking on with any of the shows we have discussed?
Thanks, Adam.
That's actually a very
good question.
Point.
Has anyone done that?
I've nearly watched all of season 1 of 30 Rock now.
Oh,
I'm loving.
Really I am literally hanging on my iTunes for the next episode of Parks and Rec as it's released in Britain.
We haven't even spoken about that though, Hal. We've not done an episode about Parks and Rec.
Well, it was courtesy of this program that I watched it.
Oh, okay.
I've carried on with Peaky Blinders.
Oh,
good man.
Wow.
Very good.
It's really good.
Yeah. I haven't even thought about Peaky Blinders. I really should.
Jamie, have you watched anything as a result of this podcast?
Yeah, Chuck.
Well, yeah, and how far through are you? Well, exactly. Crack the hell on with it, man. It's not difficult.
Did you carry on with Deadwood? Who carried on with Deadwood?
No, I've not yet. No, we will.
No,
it pains me to say that I'm really looking forward to the new Kimmy Schmidt season that's coming out, and that's said through gritted teeth.
Wow. Yeah, next week, isn't it? That's out next week.
That is when an intervention has really worked.
Yes, totally.
Well done, guys.
Look at that. The man who basically said it was the most disgustingly awful thing he'd ever seen in his life is looking forward to season two. Education works. Maybe we should listen to people like David Simon when he gives us messages. Let's say goodnight. Thank you, everybody. Matthew, well done.
Thank you.
Tiernan, thank you.
Cheers.
Jack, keep up the good work. And Adam, again, website's looking great. Thank you.
Thanks. Can we do Tremé next week?
Jeez, Tremé.
Yeah. Owl, have you seen that, Owl?
I bloody started it once, and I went to New Orleans, and they were playing Magoo-goo-gee-joo round the corner.
That's interesting, actually, because I've watched the first two episodes of Tremé, and I've never managed to get any further.
Me neither.
I've never even heard of it.
Wow. Well, I love the music. I've listened to the soundtrack. I've bought the soundtrack and listened to it endlessly.
Isn't it wonderful?
New Orleans jazz is the best jazz. Yeah, it's brilliant. So, yeah, maybe we'll do Tremé next week then.
Okay.
Good.
We've got to do Transparent at some point.
Transparent as well, we've got to mention. Yes, we need to.
It's Jeffrey Tambor, for crying out loud.
Yeah. And if
everyone went orgasmic about him a couple of weeks ago and still haven't watched Transparent, honestly, what are you doing?
I don't know who he is. Who's Jeffrey Tambor?
He's Hank in the Larry Sanders Show, jerk.
Oh, God. The rest of development.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was Rip Todd.
No.
Oh, yeah. God, that's the first time in my life that I've realised that Rip Torn and
Jeffrey Tambor
are different people. Like now,
despite the fact they appear opposite each other on screen.
Now I see.
On the last episode.
I know that those two men are different human beings by looking at their pictures. I just always called them the same name whenever I saw their face. Wow. I think that Rip Torn is excellent in The Good Wife. Good night, everybody.
Back to
you later.
Cheers.